Aquaculture and You, Creating a Sustainable Resource. A production of the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. The Fishmongers, Part 2, Metcalfe's Market. In the previous episode, we learned about aquaponics, the modern-day refinement of integrated aquaculture systems. Now, in this second of three installments featuring fishmongers, we'll move to a larger market with more of a regional presence, Metcalfe's Market, based in Madison, Wisconsin. Founded in 1917, they describe themselves in their mission statement as a fourth-generation, family-owned and operated neighborhood market. Their three stores are known for an abundance of local and premium quality foods. Again, full disclosure, I do shop at all of the markets mentioned in the series, and other markets as well. These three markets were chosen as they have all prioritized giving their customers informed choices about seafood.
I'm Leah Kaplan, the Chief Food Officer for all of Metcalfe's Markets. We're standing in front of our fresh seafood case. About 2 years ago, we started a sustainable seafood program here, working with Fishwise. We use the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch's criteria for determining our three-color ranking system, green, red, and yellow. Green is considered highly sustainable. Red is not a great choice. Yellow or orange is the in-between of those things. The criteria that go into determining those rankings have to do with the population of the fish, the speed at which it reproduces, the catch method, and any damage that does to the marine environment, not directly related to that species, but any other species around there. In the case of unsustainable farming, damage that it does to the non-marine environment. We went into this program knowing it was the right thing to do, but not quite sure how it'd be received by the public, since people have come to expect large quantities of inexpensive seafood, which is based largely on unsustainable production. And people have reacted incredibly favorably to it. We've made it very simple with just the three colors, so they don't have to understand every region on the planet and every catch method. They only have to know three things and their colors. So that's pretty simple. And for those who want to know more, our staff at all our seafood counters is very well educated on sustainability.
Now, you were named number one in Wisconsin by Greenpeace.
Yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Actually, number one in the Midwest. Greenpeace does an annual ranking called Carting Away the Oceans of seafood retailers. Their criteria is actually a little bit stricter than Monterey Bay Aquarium. So I worked closely with them on certain species that we refuse to carry or ever carry again. Shark, sea bass, those are sort of the big ones. Skate. And much to our surprise, we were eighth in the country and number one in the Midwest, to our delight. Stores that were ahead of us nationwide were all much smaller stores. It's easier to do it in a smaller format, obviously, because you just have to choose a few things. But we've done a great job of having, you know, 28 feet of fresh fish and more of it every day, sustainable. And that's really thanks to the customers who are making that choice.
We can start at one end of this very long and very attractive seafood counter. And you could tell me about some of the things that you have. It's a really wide variety.
Okay. The great thing about sustainable seafood, in my opinion as a chef, is it also tends to be the tastier. Often the unsustainable methods of aquaculture just lead to less tasty product. They're not as sweet. They taste like they've been sitting on a farm instead of swimming around the ocean. I love wild Gulf shrimp from the U.S. It tastes nothing like the farmed Southeast Asian shrimp. You can just tell by looking right now, there's sort of a clearer appearance to the Gulf shrimp, and that clear appearance actually translates to a cleaner flavor. Shellfish tend to be oysters, clams, all those farm-raised U.S. shellfish tend to be sustainable. They reproduce easily and rapidly.
I notice you only have one farm-raised salmon, and that comes from Scotland. I should note that there's cards that describe both the type of fish, its source, whether it was farm-raised or wild-caught, and they're color-coded with a large sign of the Monterey Bay Aquarium's best choice, good alternative, and unsustainable. Could you tell me about your salmon and perhaps some of these other very attractive-looking fish?
Yeah, the reason that we still carry the Scottish salmon is the customers demand it. It's got high fat. It's got a milder flavor than the king or the sockeye, particularly than the sockeye. And particularly in the Midwest, customers have really grown up on farmed salmon. Wild salmon is an acquired taste. If you didn't grow up with it, and I, of course, prefer it. It just tastes like salmon. This farm-raised Scottish salmon is an example of one of the products that, because of the continued high demand, we're not quite ready to let go of yet, but hopefully through this educational process, the customers will get there. In addition to these signs saying whether they're farmed or wild-caught, they also indicate specifically what the catch method is if they're wild-caught, whether it's bottom troll, hook and line, net.
Oh, further. I see. They have little diagrams with hooks or levels.
And there's a key for that right over here on the window. So if you're interested and really want to understand the difference, that information is available here, as is a low mercury list, again, from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. We have that available, and a pocket seafood sustainability card that you can carry around with you.
Now, with the farm-raised Arctic char, I'm guessing that you're probably getting your product from aquaculturists who are using best methods, best practices?
Yes. Typically, it has to be contained to be sustainable. If it's uncontained, it's in the ocean, there's too great a risk of damaging the natural wild populations. Getting sustainable farm-raised fish is not as easy or prevalent as I'd like it to be. In Wisconsin, there's Falcon Aquaponics and Slinger that's just starting this year, and they're a U.S. Wisconsin aquaculture facility that's doing tilapia. There's farm-raised tilapia from all over the world. Some of it's sustainable, some of it isn't. You can't just ever say farm-raised is good, farm-raised is bad, wild is good, wild is bad. It all depends on where it is and how it's done, and it's very complicated. So we're really looking forward to this fall. We're going to be featuring this Falcon Aquaponics tilapia all the time. Delicious. Was swimming yesterday in the case today, which doesn't always happen in Wisconsin. That's been really a boon to what we're trying to do. And more facilities like that springing up around the country. I believe there's one in Indiana, maybe one in Colorado.
You are a chef yourself. Are there some fish that you think people should appreciate more?
Fish on the bone or whole fish is something I love. It's just like cooking chicken on the bone versus cooking a chicken breast. When any animal is cooked on the bone, there's more moisture, there's more flavor against the bone. So if you're not afraid of eating around bones or looking into the eyes of the fish as you grill it, it's, I think, the way to go. I also really love things like mackerel and bluefish and those oilier fish that taste like fish, not fishy in a bad way, but there's a flavor to them. It's not like you're just eating a white substance. I love poaching fish. That's, I think, an underappreciated way of cooking them. Sole, I'll just slide it into a little barely simmering water and wine and turn off the heat and just let it sit there, and comes off just silky and delicious. I do that with salmon, I do it with halibut, I do it with cod. I do it with shrimp. It's really, I think, the best way to cook fish is gently and slowly and in liquid.
Could you describe a couple of the whole fish you have here?
U.S. farm-raised whole striped bass. I would just go in the cavity where it's been gutted, put some lemon wedges, some thyme, some rosemary, a little garlic, rub the outside with olive oil and just put it on the grill or put it in the oven like that. Whole red snapper, if you want to do a little project, that's an easy one with great results. Salt crusted snapper is fabulous. Coarse sea salt, water, a little bit of egg white, and then just put some seasoning and herbs in the cavity of the fish. Pack that salt around it on a sheet pan, put it in a 350 degree oven. And what you're essentially doing, everyone asks if it tastes salty, it doesn't. It creates a clay oven around that fish. It cooks slowly, it cooks evenly. All the moisture is obviously trapped inside. And then it's a nice dramatic presentation. You take it out and you just take a little knife or hammer and crack it. You have to do it though with skin on the fish or it will be salty, but that skin forms a seal.
Our listeners are wondering, how long does it take in the oven?
If you have a 2 to 3 pound fish, maybe 40 minutes, assuming that you have maybe a half inch of salt all the way around.
Looking at the first 16 feet of the counter, there's a good variety of farm-raised shellfish and wild shellfish, a good variety of farm-raised and wild-caught fish. There's wild-caught walleye. There's farm-raised catfish, striped basses farm-raised, some wild-caught Pacific yellowfin tuna. What are the most popular fish here that you saw?
Salmon. Let's ask Jeff, one of our fishmongers. Jeff, what are the most popular fish here?
It's the salmon, the fresh Alaskan salmon is about the best selling fish.
What's your favorite?
Well, all of them are actually, you know. I'm a big eater, so yeah. Yeah, I love them all.
Now, you know, it's June. We're in the heart of wild Alaska fishing season. So we've got halibut, king salmon, sockeye salmon, cod, probably some other byproducts of that season, but this is a great time to eat fish.
It looks like we have some freshwater fish on this side of the counter.
These are whitefish fillets from the Great Lakes. They are caught by setting nets one day, and the next day the fishermen go back and pull those nets out. Whitefish was the basis of northeastern Wisconsin's economy for a very long time. I used to live on Washington Island, a fishing and farming community. The whitefish population really declined over the last 150 years, but it's been rebounding now. You know, obviously there's a quota, it's managed carefully, and it's important to me to see that the livelihood of people whose families have fished up there for many generations continue to be able to do what makes sense to do right there.
What are the most popular of the freshwater fish?
Walleye, perch, whitefish, and probably trout. There are a couple great artesian trout farms around here who supply us. But I think whitefish, particularly Wisconsin, there's history of it, so people grew up eating it either smoked or fresh. In terms of a fish fry, perch is sort of the gold standard. And then there's walleye, which I also happen to love. Do we have perch today?
No, it'll be in tomorrow.
So that's also the beauty, even with all this space, we don't have everything every day. There are a lot of fish out there and you get the pick of the day.
You have local smoked fish with different preparations. Can you talk about those?
We've got herring pickled, we've got it creamed, smoked salmon, smoked trout, smoked whitefish, different flavors of smoked salmon, fresh Lake Superior herring that's been smoked. Smoked Lake Michigan whitefish. We sometimes have smoked sable in our fresh case. This is frozen here. We're expanding our sustainability program into our frozen and also our prepared foods.
And you know the sources for all these different products that you have.
We do. We work with very good suppliers and work very closely with them to verify the country of origin or fishery of origin and the fishing method and the freshness, of course. We can walk over to the tuna aisle, as it's known in the grocery business. These are all sustainable canned fish products. We have single pole caught American tuna from the West Coast. It's a little bit more expensive, or significantly more expensive, than some other canned fish, but there's no water in it. Any liquid in there is just what's released from the fish, which results in a canned tuna that actually tastes like fresh cooked tuna. Really excellent. We've got canned wild Alaska sockeye, wild pink shrimp, other kinds of tuna, albacore tuna fillets in a jar. If you want to make a salad niçoise and want it laying nicely on there, you've got that. And of course, sardines. Best thing for you and best thing for the ocean. If you're going to eat fish, sardines are the way to go.
You even have a little bit of caviar and escargot.
Yeah, escargot, more from the land than the sea. I don't know the official ranking on that, but I'm thinking snails are pretty sustainable. The caviar that we have here is all sustainable. Russian and Iranian caviars are not, that sturgeon roe, because basically you're taking the future generations to make the caviar and the future generations of a slow growing species. But there are more and more interesting caviars popping up from artisans around the country. So there's paddlefish roe in New Orleans, and basically people using their local fish and salting and pressing caviar from them. So a little more sustainable than everyone just going for one fishery in the world and taking the big, beautiful fish there for the caviar.
What are some of the interesting trends that you've seen in terms of seafood and how it reaches people, and what do most people know about aquaculture and where their fish come from?
People want to know, but particularly in the Midwest, where we don't see a lot of commercial fishing or commercial aquaculture, it's complicated, and it's complicated to communicate if people don't have a point of reference in their minds. But what we do see here, particularly in Madison, is people really, really wanting to do the right thing environmentally and nutritionally. So we're feeding off our customers are feeding off us for information, and we're trying to glean from them what they want and what they want guidance in as well. So it's a nice symbiotic relationship with them.
Do you see anything in the future in terms of seafood and how people get it?
Well, I think things like growing power and these fully contained aquaponic and aquaculture systems are a phenomenal instrument and possibly a wave for the future, particularly in cities. So urban agriculture, and that includes fish and animals, as well as just rooftop farms and things like that. As people become more conscious of their health, their diet, what their doctors are telling them, what supplements they're taking, all these things, they're starting to eat more and more fish. Many, many people eat it at least once a week, if not more. This trend away from meat, away from conventionally raised meat, is leading to vegetarianism, veganism, to sustainable meatism, and to fishism. I think I'll end it on fishism.
Sounds good. Hopefully, after hearing from our first two fishmongers, you are beginning to appreciate their considerable level of expertise and are perhaps considering trying some new approaches to buying and preparing your own seafood. But before you rush off to your local supermarket, you may recall that Leah mentioned urban aquaculture and growing power. Our next video podcast, Growing Power will introduce you to the hot topic of urban aquaculture. I'll then rejoin you in the subsequent podcast, Worry-Free Fish, Contaminants and Aquaculture. This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute, 2012. Thanks for listening.